Good morning.
Good morning.
Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to begin today. And several months ago, the Lord gave me, I believe, a word for us for this year. And the word was reaching and connecting. Reaching and connecting. And as I've revisited that and asked Him different times to reveal things about that and what He means by that and what those words are for. And so I just want to share a little bit about that, a little bit of that this morning. And I believe Paul had some very good writings pertaining to that. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 13. I'm just going to read three or four verses and we'll break some things down. I'm actually going to start in 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, meaning complete, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. God's revealing a lot of things in today's time. He's revealing it in the world. He's revealing it to the church. Philippians 3:13, in verse 13, Paul says, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, and meaning attained. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. So I want us to look at that. You know what reaching means? Literally, if you study it, it means maturing. It means growing. And that takes an effort. It takes a desire to do that. He says, I don't count myself as to I haven't attained it completely, but I'm striving, reaching for it. What is it? Well, it's the calling. It's the calling that He has and He gives to everyone. And He says, I haven't apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things are behind. What, you know what He's speaking of there? The past. The past. What does past mean? Literally, it means gone by. It means gone by. And you know, I think of the hourglass when I think of that. For a couple of reasons. One, as we've talked, time, the time is near. Time is running out. But as you look at the hourglass, and you look at this as your life, as this sand trickles through here, you can't make it go back up in there. It's past. And that part is past. You can't go back and relive it. You can't do it over again. You don't get a do-over. It's past. Too many people, too many Christians, let their past hold them back. Or let the past call them back. There's two elements to that. You know, if your past is holding you back, you need to be set free from it. And we all, from the beginning point of our life into adulthood to wherever we are, at some point in time in that journey, we need to be set free because things have occurred in our lives. We've experienced things. Things have happened spiritually, physically, emotionally, that bind us. And somewhere along that journey, somewhere through that time in our life, we need to be set free. Because it does hold us back. Sometimes it's guilt or shame from the past. And God doesn't want you to live in the past. He died for the past. He died for the present. He died for the future. And so when we cling to the past, it holds us back. Because what do you have to do to visit the past? You have to look back. You have to look back. And Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, God has a lot of things ahead for you. God has a lot of things for us that we have not yet experienced or attained or reached or even understood. And that's why it's so important not to live in the past or let the past to hold you back from going forward. Amen. You know, the devil uses our past against us. You know, that's one of the hard things about pastoring in a place where you grew up. Because I have a past. And people know my past. Now, a lot of you may not, and you don't need to. But enough people do. And there's some that probably will never attend this church because they look at me and think of my past and don't see what God's done with it. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. That's not on me. That's on them. I don't look back. I don't look back at my past because, you know, there are things that are good, but there are things I'm not proud of. There's things that will hold me back. And you see, people who are bound, people that are not set free, that are in bondage, are living in their past. That's right. They're living in their past. You can't change your past. You can't change your past. But you know what God does? He makes all things new. He says, behold, the old, when you get saved, when you come to Jesus, behold, the old is gone, the new has come. Amen. Now, does that mean we're perfect all of a sudden? No. But what it does mean is he wants to set us free from our past so that our future, our present and our future will be filled and determined by him. That we embrace him. We embrace what he's done, and we receive that freedom that he has for us. You know, it's we don't need to live in the past because the past does hold you back, and you need to be set free. Jesus said to the crippled man, do you want to be healed? I mean, he's crying out, he's reaching out, he's begging on the side of the road, and Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And we might look at it and think, well, that's a dumb question. Of course, Jesus. But you know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw his past holding him back. It was restricting his faith and his belief that he could be set free. And that's why he asked him, do you really want to? And that's the question he's asking you today. If your past is holding you back, something you've experienced, something's happened to you, something somebody's done or whatever. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? Because the truth is, many people, we get so used to our wounds and we get so bound with our past, we get comfortable with it, even though it keeps us in pain, we get comfortable with that pain. And we're not willing to go through the pain of healing in order to be set free. You see, when you go to the hospital and you go in for surgery, they give you anesthesia and they put you under because it's going to be painful. And when you come out of it and the surgery's over, you have pain. But once the healing takes place, you go through that pain, then you're healed. And it's the same way in our spiritual life, because spiritual healing is painful because we, number one, we have to let go of the past. And sometimes that's painful. And we have to acknowledge and deal with I'm in bondage. I need to be set free. And that's painful. Acknowledging where you are. But then going through the deliverance process that God takes us through, that sets us free, can be very painful. And the reason many people stay in the past or in their wound is because until that the pain of the wound gets greater than the pain of healing, they won't get healed. Because they say, well, I don't want to go through that. I'm in pain enough. Well, no, you're not in pain enough until you really desire to get healed and set free. And that's why he says, reach forward. Don't forget the past. Forget it. We should learn from it, but forget the past. Forget it. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. And if God has come into your life, the change is taking place, has taken place, and continues to take place. And when we look back, remember Lot and his wife in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God said, get out of there. Don't look back. And she looked back. Boom, pillar of salt. You see what happens to us sometimes. We reach forward and we begin to grow. And then something happens. Somebody says something. And the past tries to pull us back in our mind. And we think of the past, and it's like somebody says something to you or something happens to you, and the devil throws the past up. And says, see, you're not good enough. See, you haven't been set free. See, you're not healed. Why do you think he's called the father of lies? Because he's a liar. And you see, the past tries to lie to us. The past tries to tell us, it's not past, but it is past. It is past. Paul said, forgetting what those things which are past. And he said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to things which are ahead. God wants us to look ahead to him so that we can see what he has for us. That's the aspect of reaching. We need to be set free. Do you want to be set free from your past? God's willing to do it if you're willing. Those things behind, there's something else. There's another aspect of the past. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what those things represent? It's the world. It's the world. You see, when we come to Jesus and we get saved, we're called out of the world. Yeah, I know we still live in it physically, but spiritually, we're called out of the world. And those things behind Paul's talking about, it's the world. And so the question is, the second question is not just, do you want to be set free and healed? But is the world calling you back to it? I can tell you that it will. The world is constantly trying to call you back. And it tries to use things that pop up, our thoughts, our fleshly desires, to call you back. That's why the world appeals to our senses, our five senses. That's how it calls us back. Do you just still... This is why it's dangerous when I say too many Christians try to live with one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. You know, it's hard enough with both feet in Jesus. The world's still going to be calling you. Your past is still going to try to drag you back. But when you try to keep one foot in the world, you're in danger. You're in danger. That's why the word says you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. And that's what happens if we try to live with one foot in the world and still enjoy the things of the flesh that we desire, that the flesh desires, and yet still try to have the other foot in Jesus and live for him. It won't work. It won't work. Forget the things that are behind and reach forward. grow, mature. Let him call, as he who's calling you forward, keep bringing you forward. Let him set you free. Let him set you free and release the past. Luke 9, 23, he says, "Then he said to them, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" You see, the world's going to keep calling. But you know what we have to do is keep denying. Denying the flesh. Denying the world. Denying self. That's why he said, take up your cross. It didn't say just take up your cross one time and you're good. One and done. No, it says take up your cross. How often?
Daily.
How often?
Daily.
Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day I have to deny myself. Every day I have to deny the flesh. Every day I have to deny the desires of the world. Amen. And for the world. Every day. You see, I said to the team this morning before I shared the scripture, and I said before the service when we were in our team meeting, you're in a fight. Whether you want to be, whether you know you are, it doesn't matter. You're in a fight. And you'll either fight or you'll be run over. That's the reality of it, folks. That's the way it is. If you're a Christian, if you're a true born-again Christian, you're in a fight. Because when you receive Christ, you said, "Devil, I'm done with you. You're now my enemy. I'm your enemy now, not your ally. And I'm a child of God." And the devil says, "No, I'm not going to allow that. And I'm going to fight every bit of that in you." And he does. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in where? The world. Okay? So it's okay. We need to embrace the fight. We need to embrace the fight. Not shy away. And that's where the church is today, I believe. It hasn't yet embraced the fight as it should. It's too much of the church is still looking back or being held back, having not been set free. The word says, when Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. There's nothing better than experiencing his freedom. And verse 13 in Philippians says, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. What's ahead? What's ahead? There's a whole lot that's ahead. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." That word means maturity. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Leaving the elementary principles of Christ. That's what reaching forward means. It's growing and maturing spiritually. When he says there, leaving the discussions of elementary principles, let us go on, go forward to perfection. Perfection there meaning maturity, spiritual maturity. That's what Paul was speaking of, reaching to grow and to mature in Christ, going forward, reaching forward for that growth and that maturity. You've got to have a desire to grow with God. You can't just say, "Okay, I'm born again. I have Jesus in my life, and he's just going to grow me up." Not. Now, he's given us the tools. He's given us the resources to grow. He's given us the Holy Spirit to keep us going forward, to draw us forward, to teach us, to reveal to us what things we need to know. But it's not osmosis. See, he said, leave the elementary things. Grow up. That's what Paul's saying. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, just before that passage, he says, for though this time, by this time, you ought to be teachers. By this time, you ought to be teachers. How long have you been a Christian? You don't have to be a Christian a long, long time. But if you're growing and maturing since you were born again, you ought to be a teacher. No, I don't mean that you have to have the gift of teaching, but you should be able to teach what God's given you to someone else just by your testimony. Paul is talking to everybody. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles, the scriptures of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those who by reason of use, it's not, and he says full of age. You know what he means there by full of age? Mature. Mature. And by use, means repetition. It means practice. It means doing it, using it, reading it, studying it, memorizing it. Whatever you need to do, plant the word in you. See what's ahead? What Paul's saying about reach forward, what's ahead? What's ahead is truth. God's truth. What's ahead is righteousness. What's ahead and going forward is discernment between good and evil. You see, you have to reach for spiritual growth and maturity. You have to desire it. You have to deny self and take up your cross daily in order to grow to maturity. Desire it. It doesn't happen by just coming to church. You can say, I have not missed a Sunday this year. Big deal. What have you learned? What's changed? What has he done in your life? You see, just coming to church doesn't cut it, folks. If this is the only meal you eat from this, then you're starving. You're anemic spiritually. What's ahead is spiritual growth and maturity that we have to desire it. You can't just come to church and say, I'm getting fed all I need. I can't feed you everything you need in an hour or 30 minutes of preaching or whatever. You got to feed yourself. You got to learn to eat. Like a baby, you learn to eat. He says, by now you should be teachers, but you're babes and you need milk. You know, if you think just taking in milk is going to give you enough to fight the fight, you're mistaken. You can't fight the fight. You can't fight the good fight. You can't keep the faith on milk. It won't last. It won't last. You got to eat solid food. Solid food. If you're going to be able to discern between good and evil, you got to have solid food. Discernment comes from solid food of God's Word and His Spirit. Reaching. He says, reaching. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the goal means run the race. Run the race that's set before you. Run the race that's set before you. You see, when we press on, when we press forward, when we're pressing upward with God. Second Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, Paul says this. He caps it off. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing. The upward call. What are you reaching for? What are you reaching for? Are you reaching for him? Are you reaching for righteousness, for truth, for discernment? You see, Hebrews 3:1 says Jesus was faithful to his calling. Will you be? Will you be faithful to your calling? We're called upward. That means to the things of God, to the business of God, the things of God, the righteousness of God, and to be faithful to those things. That's the calling. That's the calling that he's given us. Verse 15 in Philippians 3 says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. This is the mindset we have to have. The mindset that we're going to press on no matter what. Because we're going to hit obstacles. Things are going to come at us to discourage us, to take us out, to keep us from the Word, to keep us from time with God. All stuff's going to happen. The devil's an expert at distractions. But our mindset needs to be, we're not going to get distracted from him. We're going to stay focused and keep reaching forward and upward with the things of God. Focused. Focused, not distracted. Distraction is a big thing in the church today. And the enemy uses distractions to create confusion, to sow discord, to just get the focus on something else besides Jesus. Paul's really saying what he's saying when he says press forward, press on, have this mind. He's just saying, keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him. And that's why when I preach this little series on the heart, it's all about the heart. It is all about the heart. Where's your heart? Is your heart on the things behind? Or is your heart pressing forward, reaching forward? Don't let the past hold you back. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 and 25, he says, do you not know that those who run a race all run? So everybody's in a race runs, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown on this earth, but we as Christians for an imperishable crown, the crown of life. That's what Paul's talking about reaching for. If we have that goal in mind, if we see what the ultimate is, as he says, I've been poured out as a drink offering. My departure is at hand. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. And now is laid up for me a crown that he, the judge, will give me in that day. That's where our eyes need to be, on what's ahead. That's what's ahead. Eternal life. This isn't eternal life. This is temporary life. We're living temporary life right now. But what's ahead is eternal life, and that's what we look for. That's our goal. That's what we press forward for. To attain the high calling of the crown of life. The crown of life. And so that's what we need to be doing as individuals, as believers, as followers of Christ. But what else should we be doing? You know, that's what we're reaching for. But the next question is, who are we reaching? Who are we reaching for? Are we reaching just for other believers as a church? Are we just reaching for transfers? Are we reaching for those that need to be transformed? 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, Paul says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul says we're to be reaching for those that haven't believed, that haven't experienced Christ, that don't know Jesus. We need to be reaching them. That's who we need to be reaching. Not just cajoling with other Christians, other believers. Romans 14, verse 1, says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. In other words, again, he's saying keep the main thing the main thing. Don't worry about little arguments and petty things. Keep the main thing the main thing. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. Is that what you're about? Is the most important thing is that we're reaching people for Jesus? Romans 15:1 says, we then who are strong, meaning mature spiritually, ought to bear with the scruples. The scruples are the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one please his neighbor for his good to edification. Even Christ did not please himself, but he reached for those, even those who reproached him. You see, we need to be helping those, not be impatient with those who are weak in the faith, not impatient for those that don't get it yet. We need to be helping them. Amen. Helping them find Jesus. If they've got Jesus, helping them to reach forward, amen, to grow, to mature. We who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak, not to please ourselves. You know, I think of Jesus sometimes when he said to his disciples, how long have I got to deal with you guys in this unbelief? And but he didn't give up on them. He just gave them more. He just fed them more. And that's what we need to do with each other. You know, sometimes I think like that. How long have I got to deal with you guys? And then you guys are thinking, how long we got to deal with you? When are you going to retire? We need to keep pressing forward, but we need to be reaching people who don't have Jesus. It's great that people come to this church because they can hear the word and they can be loved on, and there's love and there's worship and the word is given here. But that's not reaching people that need Jesus. If you're coming from someplace else because they didn't preach the word, bring somebody that don't know Jesus with you. And those of you that are here and have been here, who are you reaching with Jesus? Who do you know that needs Jesus and you haven't reached out? You haven't witnessed. You haven't pressed forward with the calling that you've been given. And that is to share Jesus Christ with people. He says in Corinthians, he's given us... No, I lost the word I was thinking. Anyway, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. If he's reconciled you to God, the Holy Spirit's drawn you and you have Jesus, you now have the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing others to Jesus, reconciling their life with Christ. Amen. It's in Scripture. That's your calling. And Paul's saying, press on. Don't look back. Don't look back. Somebody said testimony. Use your testimony. Do you have a testimony? Yes. If you're born again, you have a testimony of what God's done in your life and how He changed your life. Amen. But do you have a... We're talking about... Okay, if you're a Christian, then that's in the past. He's already saved you. What's your testimony now? Yeah. Do you have a testimony now? Yeah. In other words, is God doing something in your life today that's fresh, that's new? Or are you still riding on the past? Oh, I got saved in 1984. Wow, God did a work in me. 94, 204, 14, 24. 40 years? Has he done anything in 40 years? Has he done anything else besides save you? You know, that's kind of, we chuckle at that, but how true is it? What true? I think the word Christian, and I could be wrong, is only used a couple of times, two or three times actually in Scripture. What's used mostly is disciple or follower. Okay? Now, some of you disagree with this, but you can be saved and not follow Jesus. You can have your ticket punched, but you're not following Him. You see, if you're following Him, if you're what the Bible says, a fully devoted follower of Jesus, then you'll have a fresh testimony, because you can't follow Jesus without Him doing something in your life. Without Him keeps changing something. So, Luke, Jesus said it best in Luke 19. Luke 19 and verse 10. I'm just going to go to 9. Back up to 9. It won't be on the screen. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was what?
Lost.
That which was what?
Lost.
Why did Jesus come? To save you. Who does Jesus want you to reconcile to God? Other believers? Well, we need to keep each other accountable as believers, but who are we supposed to be reaching? Now, I don't know about you, but I honestly believe the ratio is about 80-20. So I believe there's a whole lot more unbelievers than there are believers. So what's our excuse? What's our excuse? I mean, it's not like you only have two or three to pick from in the whole world. I mean, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And they're not bad people. They just need Jesus. But what they need is for us to tell them about Jesus and to show them Jesus on how we live and to help them know who He is. It's easy to fill up a church with believers. Paul's challenge is reaching unbelievers. Reaching for the things of God. Reaching to bring the things of God, the business of God, is evangelism. Reaching people for Jesus. And we sometimes we make it so difficult, so hard. We think it's hard, and it's not. What we don't realize is how many people out there want Jesus. They just don't, they're looking for Him. They just don't know what they're looking for. They just need some direction. They need some testimonies. They need some witnesses. They need the love of Christ shared with them. It'll amaze you. It'll amaze you. The response if you just be bold and step out. You know, it's amazing. I've found through the years in different things, in different places, like in restaurants or something, and you start a conversation with the server. I've asked them, well, how are you doing today? Or something simple like, how can I pray for you? And their first look is like, and then you know what? They'll tell you their whole life right there standing at the table. Because they want that void filled. They just don't know where to get it. And God has given every one of you who is a believer a calling to do that. And you can either let your past say it disqualifies you. You see, if I had to base my credibility on my past, I'm done. I'm done. I have no credibility. But Jesus. But Jesus changed my life. Didn't make me perfect. He changed my life. And the old is gone, the new has come. And you see, the old always wants to resurrect. And that's why He says, every day, deny yourself. You know what He's saying? Deny the old self. Deny the old man. Deny the past. Deny the old and embrace the new. Take up your cross daily. In other words, embrace the new. The cross represents Jesus. The cross represents your relationship with Him. It represents your faith in Him. It represents His power. Because He defeated the cross. But you see, the reason we have believers, let me say that a different way. The reason we have, go ahead and come up, worship team. The reason, listen to this now. Don't pay attention to them. They still got the same clothes on they had before. The reason we need to do that, the reason we don't, is we doubt. We doubt. The Scripture says, I'm not ashamed of salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Did you hear that? It's the power of God unto salvation. It's not my power. I don't get anybody saved. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news that Jesus loves you and He died for you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. That's the good news. Are we reaching? What are we reaching for? And who are we reaching for? That's what we got to keep in mind. Once we're reaching, pressing in and pressing forward, then we got to ask ourselves, who are we reaching for? Just another believer that we can get along with and be comfortable with? Are we willing to trust the power of the gospel to salvation to those who need it? Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us, because time is running out. Help us to reach forward to your righteousness, reach for your truth, reach for your presence. And then, God, as you have called us, and directed us, and command us to reach the lost, to reach those without Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never truly put your faith in Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? The hourglass, the sand is pouring through the hourglass. And that sand represents your life on this earth. And we never know how fast the sand is going to run, how long it's going to run. That's our life. The Bible says our life is just like a vapor that just disappears. We think we have forever. And we don't. So if you've never truly given your life to Christ, you know, you may be thinking, I got to get my act together. I got to stop sinning. I got to quit doing this and quit doing that. That's lies from the devil. Because if you could quit all that, you would have done it. That's why we need Jesus. I couldn't quit anything until I had Jesus. And if you'll just give up self, quit trying to do it your way, and live life on your terms, and just say, God, it's not working. I want to do it your way. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I choose today to repent and to turn away from my way and to have your way. By faith, I receive you as my Savior. By faith, I trust that you forgive me as I confess my sins. And by faith, I receive your forgiveness. Do that with your heart. Do that with your heart, right now, right here. Today, the Word says, salvation has come to this house. He's here, and he's waiting for you to take his hand. Take his hand this morning. Believe. Trust him. Give your life to him. In Jesus' name, amen.